Almighty Father, we come before you at this time. We're so grateful that you have blessed us in so many ways for the blessings of understanding your word most. For we know that there are many out there who have misconceptions, who have been told error. They need to know your truths. And we pray, Almighty Yahweh, that we'll help them understand that they would come to know you as we do. We pray that you'll continue to watch over us, be with those who are not here, those who have issues going on right now, that you would be their Yahweh Rapha in whatever way they need it. And we pray now that you'll guide us and be with us in this study. In Yahshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. And you may be seated. The question is, what are you living for? Why were you given life? I wonder how many people actually stop and think about that. A priceless gift that has a promise that would go on for eternity. I think if people understood what life really was about, they'd think about it differently and act differently and do differently. Of all the writers of the Bible, none has been misunderstood more than the apostle from Tarsus. To most, Paul is an iconoclast who continued a new era begun by Yahshua, a new faith, one of faith over obedience, one of love over law. By misinterpreting him, they get a skewed idea of what the Bible is about, especially in the New Testament. Paul recognized the importance of the Old Testament in his ministry, including the law. Proof comes from his own mouth, and it can't be denied. Acts 24:14, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way that they call heresy, so worship I the Elohim of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and the prophets." This is the great law abolisher, you might say, denying all of that in this one verse. I suggest you memorize this verse. So when someone approaches you and say, "Well, you know, the Apostle Paul says," and this is what he says. Have you ever read it? "And have hope," verse 15, "toward Elohim, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." So the kingdom starts with a resurrection of the good and the bad, and I guess the ugly too. Everybody, where the bad are sifted from the good. The bad go first, we find Yahshua telling the disciples. And what does Paul have to say about the evangel in Romans 8:17? Does he stop at the resurrection? Or does he teach what Yahshua taught about the kingdom? Quote, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of Elohim and joint heirs with Messiah, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Find it interesting. People say, well, you know, the truth is, if you get to the truth, there's no suffering. Everything is smooth sailing. Uh-uh. Just read the Psalms and read what David went through. Over and over again, he pleads to Yahweh, "Help me. Help me through this thing. Help me through this trial. Help me. They're after me," and all this on and on and on. It's not an easy street. He says Yahshua suffered, and he said we would suffer too. But that's the whole point. Will we make it through? Life is not all roses. But suffering shows us who we are, deep down inside, and how we handle it. Here Paul writes that the children of Elohim are joint heirs with Messiah. So we inherit what Yahshua inherits. We'll learn what Yahshua will inherit. In Romans 4:13, Paul says that Abraham was promised to be an heir of the world because of the righteousness of his faith. His faith caused him to be righteous and do Yahweh's will, do according to his word. Galatians 3:29, "And if you be Messiahs, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So the inheritance of the promise begins with a judgment of each of our lives. Revelation 20:12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Elohim, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works, People say, it's works righteousness, you don't need that. No, it just says right here, according to their works is how Yahweh's going to judge us. And verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell, or Hades, delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man, here it is again, according to their works. If you didn't get the first time, he repeats it in verse 15 or 13. This is the great white throne judgment for the second resurrection. It's for those who were not in the first one. The first one that lasted 1,000 years. Now we have another one after that for the rest of the people that weren't in the first one, that weren't chosen for first fruits. Entrance into the kingdom starts with those found worthy in the resurrection. And like an airplane flight, you need to procure a ticket first, and then you fly. We have to show that we're worthy, and then he'll resurrect us into the kingdom. How we conduct our lives now is going to impact our future, whether it be chosen for the kingdom and given a position in the kingdom. We'll talk about that today too. So secure your seat, serve Yahweh, don't let up or stop, and never back up, back off. Abraham hoped against hope, and he became the father of many nations because he never gave up the truth. He would not stop, and he became the hallmark in the Old Testament. And the reason, really, because of Yahweh's covenant with him, Israel was then chosen as his people. So the price is too high to stop, Romans 4:18. And so to have the chance of a kingdom inheritance, you have to have a reason that you live this life. And that a reason would be for Yahweh's purpose, to live for him. What if Yahshua didn't come to start a new faith, a new religion, or revamp an old one? What if his purpose was to create an intense spiritual awakening or renewal within his listeners that would open the way for a life in the future kingdom that would never end? Well, not just what if, this is precisely the case and what his purpose was. By his sacrifice, all people have an opportunity to then experience a life forever in Yahweh's magnificent kingdom to come, a life that will never end. By his sacrifice, all people have access to the kingdom, but it doesn't come without personal cost. Yeah, you know, we all know. We get criticized for what we believe. People are ignorant out there. They don't know and don't realize how important Yahweh's name is, why his Sabbath is the seventh day and not just another day. Why Sunday has it's been switched to. I saw this, I guess, a minister on social media trying to explain Sunday, and it was sad because he made one mistake after another of how the Sabbath was changed basically to Sunday. And it wasn't. And I thought, these people, this is what they're hearing week after week after week, and it's so wrong. But you know, the new president elect this nation is right now picking people to be in his cabinet, to be in his government agencies. Now, he's not going around going eeny, meeny, miny, mo. He's picking those that he can use that would work well in his cabinet, I hope. Dedicated people with the right qualifications, the right desire, who share the same purpose and goals in his administration. He wants to have those having the right stuff. Obviously, that's exactly what Yahshua is doing now. He's selecting those who are not only fit, but also worthy for his kingdom. In Revelation 21:27, Yahshua talks about the holy city, New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. There's Jerusalem now, of course, out there in the Middle East. But there's going to be a new Jerusalem coming. And it speaks of those who will not be in it. So stand up and take awareness of this. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Well, Paul in 1 Corinthians 6:9 is a little more specific. He nails it down. He went down to brass tacks. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh? Be not deceived. These are the people that won't be in there. Unrepentant, of course. Fornicators, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. You don't want to be any of those. Now, if you have been, need to repent. That passage just dynamites the notion that obedience is just worthless works righteousness. Think about that. If works don't matter for the kingdom, then why do bad works matter to keep you out of the kingdom? Think about it. But all is not lost if you find yourself under condemnation. Notice verse 11. And such were some of you, but you are washed. Key word, washed. But you are sanctified, set apart. But you are justified as if you had no sin in the name of the Master Yahshua by the Spirit of our Elohim. Washed and by the Spirit. What do we do at baptism? Your sins are washed in the water, and you have the laying out of hands by the Spirit. That's what he's talking about here. Two words. And you are justified in Yahshua's sight through the power of his Spirit, through the laying out of hands. You know, astonishingly, a central message that Yahshua taught has been completely ignored. Yahshua taught repentance, Matthew 4:17. Baptism, Mark 16:16. And salvation through obedience. As he said in Matthew 19:17, if you will enter into life, what? Keep the commandments. The young man asked him, how can I be saved? If you enter into life, keep the commandments. What do people tell you now? You don't have to keep the commandments. Well, they're not quoting their Savior very well, are they? In fact, they're denying him in that way. His teachings vary little from what is presented in the core doctrine of the Old Testament. It's the same message the Old Testament prophet gave in Ezekiel 18:30. Let's read it. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways. Same message in the New Testament, says Yahweh. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Then verse 31, cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die? Why will you die? Doesn't make sense you die and be left out of that, does it? Without repentance. O house of Israel, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, says Yahweh. Therefore, turn yourselves and live. Well, let's dig a little deeper into the kingdom. Yahshua went further. As the world's greatest prophet, he went beyond just being saved and gave us a look at Yahweh's grand plan so that we would know what salvation is all about. For 2,000 years, man has been fed a ridiculous scenario of an eternal reward involving angel wings, harps, and misty clouds as the goal of the saved. Most people have no concept of what our purpose and goal is, even though it is found throughout the New Testament, even though it is explained by Yahshua the Messiah. I guess they don't read. The thrust of what Yahshua taught was the coming of Yahweh's kingdom to this earth. That's the big message he came. He's bringing his kingdom to this earth. Now that entails we got to be ready for it, right? If we want to be in that kingdom. He was sent to show the way for that. And that is why his followers were called the people of the way. You see it over and over again. People of the way are that way. People say, what do you call yourselves? People of the way is what they were called in the New Testament. A few other words too, but mostly that. Yahweh would overthrow the forces of evil and reestablish an Edenic paradise here once again, because Adam and Eve muffed it. They blew it. to be ruled by his own son with assistance from his saints. And that also is what is called the gospel, the kingdom, or better, the evangel, or the good news. This kingdom message was at the heart of everything Yahshua did and taught. He taught about the kingdom, get this, 123 times. How can you ignore it? How can you say it's something else? And yet for thousands of years, people have still been clueless about what the goal of the righteous is, where they will go, and what they will do there. They don't have any idea. They were not even taught a resurrection, most people. In his model prayer, Yahshua confirmed, a resurrection is once you die, you go to heaven, that's their resurrection, but that's not what the resurrection is. They were not even taught a resurrection. In his model prayer, Yahshua confirmed that the kingdom would come to earth and that Yahweh's plan will finally be installed, initiated in this whole world without the inhibiting effects of sin and the corruption that sin brings. Luke 12:32 is the goal of the righteous. In a nutshell, fear not, little flock. He doesn't say everybody, masses of people. He said just little flock who will be found worthy. For it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So let's read about the parameters of the kingdom. Daniel 7:27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under heaven. So, must not be in heaven. It's under heaven. Shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. All kings will bow down to Yahshua. Now, a kingdom consists of what? Well, a kingdom, well, obviously, has a king. He has a domain he rules over. He's got subjects in his kingdom, and he's got laws. You have to have laws or you got nothing. Yahweh's kingdom is inherited. It's not something we already possess as part of a church. That's not the kingdom. Yahweh's kingdom is where he is and ruling from. David, a future monarch in that kingdom, wrote Psalms 37:29, the righteous, as we've already said, you got to be righteous to enter it, will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. It's going to be a land. It's not going to be clouds. It's not going to be heaven. It's going to be right here on earth. How does that work if the kingdom's a church? How do you inherit that? How do you dwell in that? Yahshua said in John 17:16 that his people are not of this present world, even as he was not, speaking spiritually, of course. They are not conformed to it. It's not their goal in life to be big in this world. That's not to be successful in this world. That's not their goal in this world's terms. Politics is not their religion. They are not comfortable living in this world of sin, especially with evils that we see today. Yahweh's word tells us that society is controlled by HaSatan, who is always opposed to what Yahweh's people seek and strive for. He thrills at throwing a constant barrage of stumbling blocks before the righteous, before those who believers who are walking in the truth. He loves that. He loves to cause problems because he doesn't want them to believe the truth. He wants them to give up. Those who spend their time pursuing their wants and riches are just wasting the precious gift that Yahweh has gave, the precious gift of life. That approach to life is completely backward. Yahshua said in Luke 12:30, "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after: prestige, wealth, power, honor, all of which are temporary and all which go away at death." And said, you put your hand in a bucket of water and pull it out, and the hole you leave is how you'll be remembered in future years. You look at once famous people who worked all their lives to be somebody and who got old and then died, and so did the memory of them. And it only takes a few years, gone and forgotten, unless you live for Yahweh and made it count, made your life worth something, that will be remembered on into eternity if we're found worthy enough to be in his kingdom. When your life is over, the only thing people will ask is, what kind of person was he or she? That's all. That's all that matters. Not what they owned, not how important they were on earth in man's eyes. How important were they in their hearts? That's all that matters. And that's what we're going to be judged by, what's in our hearts. What kind of life did we leave? Deep down inside, who was that person? Good man? Good woman? They worked for people in this life, did good for people, taught, raised good children, righteous children, taught them Yahweh's word. Yahshua admonished in Luke 12:31, but rather seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim, and all these things shall be added unto you. He'll make sure you have your needs met, but not always your wants, but your needs are what's important. That's what really matters. The prosperity doctrine is a sham. Nowhere are we promised riches if we follow the word. That's not even in the word. Yahshua says the opposite. You're going to have trials like I do, but overcome the world as I have. Let alone some false teachings thrown in. And if you find yourself somehow blessed with wealth, well, hallelujah, go out and do good with it. The kingdom should be our passion. It's what we should live and die for. It's all about what really matters in life, because the kingdom is what comes next. A righteous king is soon coming, brethren, to establish his realm here on this earth. His feet will touch on the Mount of Olives. He's going to set up a tabernacle there, Yahshua the Messiah, and his realm. And we need an overwhelming desire to live and be with him then. We need assurance that what we do today will be judged worthy of that kingdom. So if we're doing wrong, stop it. Repent of it. Realign your life with the truth. Colossians 1:10 encourages us to walk worthy of Yahweh in all pleasings, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of Elohim. That's what we should be doing. With that end, we conform to his will, meaning to lead a life of obedience to his word. And there's something really deep down inside satisfying when we live according to Yahweh's word. There's nothing like it. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without our dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and makes a lie. With that desire to be in the kingdom, we must learn of his ways, his laws that govern his kingdom and his government. That's a fact the automatic heaven bounder misses, and his teachings won't reveal. They think you qualify just by dying. You know, we hear it all the time at funerals. He's up and smiling down on us in heaven. Just by dying, he's there. It doesn't make any sense because he hasn't even gone through the resurrection or the judgment yet. But could it be that reason that they really talk about the kingdom so that they don't need to do anything about it? Are they that ignorant or are they that knowledgeable? Because of the kingdom, we learn of his Sabbath and his holy days, and each which teach volumes about Yahweh and his plan of salvation, when all these days will be observed regularly and everlastingly in the kingdom. We can have a taste of it right now here on earth. That's what Yahweh wants. You must learn to think like, act like, live like, and be like Yahshua. And that's not easy. That's a tall order. We struggle with it as human beings, but we strive for it. He says, be perfect. Well, that means become perfect. Work toward that goal. That's what he wants to see. At least you're working toward the goal. You know, if an employer hires somebody And he's just not the right fit. But he keeps trying. He keeps trying and doing the best he can because he knows he's someday he'll make it. So he lets him give him time to find out. That's what Yahweh is doing with us, giving us time. And because of the kingdom message, we must learn to be like Yahshua. Can we see how things go if there is no directive in life or objective to goal of, or a goal to live for? How will that work? A society without standards or government without laws becomes the Wild Wild West. Clearly the kingdom is under laws. It's very orderly, and that's what Yahweh is. He's very orderly. For those ignorant of the sacred plan of the Bible, their goal is all about themselves and living for all the gusto. They lack any clue as to why they were given this precious gift of life. Yahshua's main purpose in coming to earth to advance the kingdom of his Father, it's about preparing for his kingdom reign. And to have a part in it is his promise to us. Yahshua prayed in Matthew 6:10, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." Not in heaven, on earth. Did you catch that when you repeated that over and over and over when you were growing up? Thy kingdom come on earth. We don't go there to heaven. The kingdom comes to earth. This is the purpose Yahshua always kept before him, preparing the earth to be Yahweh's ultimate throne and central seat of power in the universe. In Luke 4:43, when the multitude wanted Yahshua to stay in Capernaum and teach, he says, I must preach the kingdom of Elohim to other cities, for therefore am I sent. I'm not done yet. This is important. This is big. This is for all the marbles. For centuries, many have misused Paul to justify moving away from Yahweh's kingdom message and focus only on Yahshua's death and resurrection and how it supposedly stood Yahweh's covenant with Israel completely on its head in the New Testament. They eviscerate Yahshua's purpose for coming when they discard the kingdom message or ignore it or never preach it or preach something else, like going to heaven as soon as you die. Sure, Yahshua's death and resurrection made salvation available to all to have salvation if they're found worthy. Yeah, that's part of it. But don't stop there. What's next? What is the point and purpose of everlasting life? That's the missing dimension. You'll never hear, hardly, in most denominations. They get right up to the point, the purpose for faith, and then they drop the ball. I'm going to pick up the ball today a little bit. Abraham was given a glimpse of the evangel in the kingdom in Revelation 3:8. And the scripture, foreseeing that Elohim would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel, the evangel, unto Abraham, saying, "In you shall all nations be blessed, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Yahshua, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." That is where most people become deer in the headlights. They just glaze over, their mind collapses. They don't, because no one ever taught them to focus their attention on the most important message of the Bible. Tradition doesn't teach the rest of the story. Yes, yeah, certainly salvation is through Yahshua's blood. We all understand that. But then what? Okay, we have salvation, let's say. Now what? Now what do we do? Sit back and relax? Go fishing? Spending eternity gliding down cloud tops on spiritual skis is not what we're going to be doing. So I have news today. Salvation is not nonstop entertainment. It's not endless fun in paradise. Yahshua said, "My Father works and I work." Is it going to be different for us? John 5:17. And that work will no doubt be shared with the faithful who obey him in this life. I can only imagine what that kind of work will be. We're not told exactly, but we know it's going to be satisfying, completely satisfying, because furthering Yahweh's kingdom is the subject and the object. Look out into the vast universe some night with the trillions of planets out there. I was looking this week and thought, oh, the stars are exceptionally bright and the moon is so bright. I don't ever notice it being that way before. It was amazing. Trillions of planets just sitting there waiting for the next phase in Yahweh's plan. What is that phase? Well, number one, Yahweh creates nothing in vain. I want to read Isaiah 45:18 and see what it says. For thus says Yahweh that created the heavens, Elohim himself that formed the earth and made it. He has established it. He has created it not in vain. Wow. The universe, not created in vain. Astronomers say there are millions of Earth-like planets out there with their own sun. Millions of them, capable of supporting life. Do you sense a plan here? He doesn't create anything in vain. There are life-like planets, or planets that support life, out there by the millions. Is there a plan? I let my mind wander, and really how insignificant we are. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Infinite. I believe that the universe is infinite, doesn't end. And that's that his kingdom shall be no end. Luke says in 133, Yahshua said that. Of his kingdom, there'll be no end. Is this going to stop here with this earth? Gets his throne set here and then nothing? I don't think so. Traveling at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second, to traverse our Milky Way galaxy from one end to the other, they say would take 200,000 years. This is one galaxy out of potentially billions. I don't think we realize how great Yahweh is. Unbelievable. And Yahweh can travel that in an instant just by thinking it, as he could millions of other galaxies in the infinite future. Well, it's going to be keep growing. Universe. He starts small and makes big. That's the way he usually works. His name has the weakest letters of the alphabet in Hebrew, and yet it's the greatest name in the universe. He starts with his people, small. He chose Israel not because they were greatest, he says, because they were smallest, they were least. But he's going to make something great of them. And we can be grafted into Israel, Paul says, Romans 9:11. He starts small and makes it big. He's made earth to be the capital of his kingdom. Imagine that. His throne, right here on earth, at Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, a cube, 1,500 miles cubed is going to be his throne, his New Jerusalem. He starts small and he makes it big. First fruits. Because they never get past the pearly gates in their teachings, clerics today eliminate the purpose for obedience and learning about Yahweh and his plans with the ultimate reason why Yahweh expects a change in his people, in their hearts. The message is lost that life is a preparation for a greater purpose and much more important purpose than just existing for 70 plus years. How many people have wasted their lives not knowing the truth? Hopefully they can be taught in the second resurrection, but not in the first, apparently, if they weren't followers of Almighty Yahweh. Now there will be, it says the dead will rise first when Yahshua returns, and these are the ones that have lived righteous lives. Revelation 21 confirms what many Old Testament prophecies say, that ultimately Yahweh the Father will descend to earth and will dwell here. Once this earth has been cleansed of all its sin and corruption, when the law is in place everywhere, Yahshua is going to make sure of that, and everyone is living according to it, then Yahweh himself will come, because it'll be a righteous world then. He can't abide sin. That's why he's got Yahshua as an intermediary, the Dabar, the spokesman. He himself cannot stand sin. He's just too pure, too holy. You know, that's going to be surreal if we're there and we see that New Jerusalem throne coming down to this earth. Or even seeing Yahshua come back. I often wondered about that. When the trumpets sound and Yahshua comes back, and I believe it's going to be at night, and I have proof of that in the scriptures. I have another message I want to talk about darkness and light, but all eyes will see him. He's going to go around the world, and they're going to see him there in a bright light, and all his angels, and or thousands of angels. It's going to be unreal. And the wicked are going to fight him. They don't want him coming back. They like their life of corruption, sin. Revelation 21:1, and I saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Elohim out of heaven. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Elohim is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And Elohim himself shall be with them and be their Elohim. Yahweh himself be with his people. It's mind-blowing. The one who created this limitless universe, or at least gave Yahshua the power to do it, he's the kingpin, so to speak, is going to be right here on this earth. I don't think people realize how important the creation of man is and their destiny. I don't think they have a clue. The throne of the Messiah and ultimately Yahweh the Father was going to relocate somewhere from the northern heavens to earth. And there will be humans on earth at that time. The New Revised Standard Version calls them mortals. And I meant to read 45, a note on 45:18. And then the NIV study note, I'm sorry, the NRSV study note. As the Creator, Yahweh did not intend Israel to live in a disordered and chaotic universe, but in a habitable one of order, truth, and right. Yahweh doesn't live in chaos. Everything has to be made right. Everything has to be in order. Everything has to go according to his plan. Not like my garage. Every time I want to do something, I got to spend a half hour trying to find the tool to do it because I don't put things back like I should. That's not going to be Yahweh's government. That's not going to be his chaotic universe. But everything's going to be in order. And maybe that's what the job will be of us if we're there, to help bring everything back in order again. Well, we read in Isaiah 30, is it 31, where he says, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. Who is that? A voice, probably a believer who's been resurrected, who's going to help people understand the law and the ways of Yahweh and don't walk the wrong way. There's going to be a lot of work to do. This world is a mess. And not just our country. The world's a mess. And I think the only thing you need to do is start a war and it'll be solved. So anyway, Yahweh will return to this earth ultimately after the second resurrection and the ultimate white throne judgment. So we're to be training to be part of his kingdom. That's what one thing that we do, the most important thing we do here. It's the reason for why we live a life of obedience in the first place. In order to teach and administer his laws in a future righteous kingdom, we must first have proved we can handle it ourselves. When the president chooses someone in his cabinet, he wants to make sure they can handle the job, right? You can't get a dimwit in there, it just messes everything up. He wants to know if we can handle his ordinances and statutes and make people understand them and obey them. If we don't do it ourselves, What do we want? What do we want us for, you know? We have to prove worthy that we've done it, we followed it, his ways, we've done it ourselves. Like the guy who applied for the job. If he has knowledge of it, he's primo, you know. The guy who has no clue what the business is all about, he's going to be somewhere down, way down on the list. We're in training to be key part of the kingdom. It's the reason why we live a life of obedience in the first place. In order to teach and administer his ways and laws and statutes in a future kingdom, we have to prove that we can handle it ourselves. We have to prove worthy. And those who don't are going to be discarded as unworthy. Paul said they will not enter the kingdom, period. Yahweh won't have unrepentant people who despise his laws serve him in his pure and righteous government. It's just common sense. It all boils down to a plan, brethren, when Yahshua called it the evangel. Many define the gospel using only the first part of 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. Then they stop after verse 4. They stopped after his resurrection and don't give you the rest of the plan. Okay, we're resurrected. Now what? You got to read the book, you know. You got to learn what the book says. But Paul continues on in the chapter about the evangel, talking about Yahshua subduing all worldly authorities and powers and turning rulership of the earth over to his Father. If you read 1 Corinthians 15:23, but every man in his own order, Yahshua the firstfruits, afterward they that are Messiahs at his coming. Yahshua will be first, blazing the way. Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to Elohim, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. He can't compete with some king over there, somewhere over, you know, in the Middle East or down south somewhere in Saudi Arabia. He can't compete with them. They're going to be overthrown. There isn't going to be two rulers on this earth or more. He's going to put them all down. All rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put out all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is something we don't always think about, is death. There'll be no more death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that Yahweh may be all in all. The oneness doctrine teaches that Yahshua is Yahweh. Same thing. How can that be? When the last one to be in subjection will be his Son. Does that mean himself? Does that make sense? No. It means that his Son is his Son. That's why he's called a Son, and Yahweh's called a Father. There's two people. Kingdom rulership. That's part of what's left out in discussions about the gospel or the evangel. Without a purpose and a goal, you have no reason to prepare for anything. The gospel message heard almost exclusively today is to get people resurrected, then leave them hanging, not knowing what to do next or what's going to happen next. What's the point? If it all ends at the point of entry, if it all ends at the pearly gates, then what? You know? Millions have repeated the Savior's model prayer, avoid vain repetition, Yahweh says, but this is a teaching prayer. This is to show you how to teach and how you approach Yahweh. He approaches the prayer first with honoring Yahweh. And then he says, your kingdom come. And most don't even understand what that means or what the kingdom is coming to, why it's coming, where it's coming, for what purpose. Clouds, harps, and angel wings are about as far as they understand. It's all shadows, nothingness. Our purpose and goal is to learn about the living and reigning of Yahshua the Messiah in that kingdom that will come to earth. His law is going to go forth out of Zion, we read. And people will say, come. and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. So apparently there's going to be some fine-tuning. We understand pretty much the essence of the law, but we don't maybe understand in all of its ramifications. I don't know. But he's going to fine-tune it, teach us even more than we know. And we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. No wonder. No wonder Satan hates Jerusalem. No wonder that's where the end time battle is going to take place. Talked about that in the Bible study today. Armies are going to gather and march on Jerusalem. Why? This is going to be Yahweh's throne. Why not? Satan going to do that to his archenemy. Yahweh's ways will be taught and obeyed, while the law will go forth from Jerusalem. Yahweh's people really are practicing lawyers, ever thought about it? Who not only are studying the laws that will be in the Constitution, but they're putting them into practice now. How does observing Yahweh's commands prepare us for the rulership of Yahshua here on earth? Well, Psalm 19, which is the other great law psalm, verse 7 explains what the law does. What does it accomplish? How does it affect us? The law of Yahweh is perfect, verse 7, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the hearts. When you observe his word, his statutes, there's a feeling deep down inside that you feel good. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. Verse 9, the fear of Yahweh is clean and enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, verse 11, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Great reward for being obedient. Yahweh's laws serve as both a warning and a blessing when we keep them. It converts the soul and enlightens the mind. That is why great understanding have those who love his law, and why others don't just groping around in darkness and don't understand because they don't obey. There are millions today groping around, clueless, when it comes to what the Bible says. They have such a surface, superficial idea of the Bible, and yet they won't take it and study it. They won't take it down and read it and decide they're going to start living by it. I mentioned before, some lady asked me, well, I want to study the Bible. How do I go about it? Do I just start with Genesis and start reading, or do I pick a topic and study it? And I said, whatever works for you, just get your nose into it. And you're going to find out how much you didn't know and how much more you can learn and how great it is. We used to say, tongue in cheek, back in my old newspaper days, if you want to hide something, put it in the newspaper. No one's going to read it. Well, the same thing I think is even more true with the scriptures. If they do happen to stumble upon a pearl of enlightenment that would bring them in line with the word, the blind guys just take it away. Explain it away. Ah, it's not what it says. That's what I just read, what it says. You tell me it doesn't say that. Well, you see, you got to understand. Then they come up with their argument to throw them off track. That's Old Testament. That's works righteousness. So much bondage. We're under grace. You're a legalist. I mean, on and on and on. We've all heard it. Take your pick of any one of these tired old bromides, old excuses, whose real purpose is to rein in a person from successfully bridging the gap, traditional gap of error, and seeing that obedience and faith go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. Why can't the religious establishment either ever break free from darkness and teaching what Yahshua taught? Well, if not us, the rocks would cry out. So we got to do it. No matter if we're popular or not, we got to do it. Psalm 111:10. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Because they refuse to do that, their understanding of truth is seriously flawed, lacking, I remember one lady said, how do you do, what Bible are you reading? Where do you get this stuff? Well, just start obeying Yahweh's word and it'll be shown to you. The words that were a mystery before will become clear. Yahweh's going to help you. That's the whole point. So, if you want good understanding about the eternal future kingdom, obey Yahweh. And he'll give you that understanding that leads to life. May Yahweh bless you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.